Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spoken Heard. I'm Susan Dobie Chase, and today my guest is Robert Mullins Jr., better known as Moody Black in the spoken word community. Unfortunately, I haven't gotten Mr. Mullins on the radio actually this morning yet. He has not called into the station, so I'm just going to repeat for him one time. Please call the guest call-in number. Oh, here he is. Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
It's Moody.
Hi, this is Susan. We just got on air, so you're not too late at all. I was just saying that your name is Robert Mullins Jr., and you're better known in the slam community as Moody Black. How are you this morning?
I'm wonderful. Glad to be here.
Good, good. I'm glad to have you as well. I got anything big coming up this weekend or next week or anything?
Got a lot of big things. Just got through doing some big things. I'm actually had to pull over because I'm coming from Greensboro, North Carolina, headed to Greenville. And my reminder on my calendar popped up. I'm like, oh, my Lord, I had to go on the next exit, pull over, and get ready for this show. But and that's just the life I chose, you know what I'm saying? So I'm thankful. I'm happy for it. So I had to pull over. I'm at this McDonald's parking lot. My phone charger hooked up to my car. So just got to doing Charlotte and Greensboro. This is a great time. This week I got a couple of colleges during the week, but I got Dallas, Texas this coming Saturday. I'm looking forward to that. Masterpiece hosts a show called Flow for the Love of Words. My first time doing her joint, so I'm excited. To get out, you know, go to Texas, go to Dallas. Never been to Dallas, so it's going to be a beautiful experience. Then turn right back around, come back home for a couple of days. And that Tuesday, which is my birthday, February 23rd is my birthday.
Happy birthday.
I'm going to Cincinnati, Ohio, the 23rd, 24th, and Columbus, the 25th, and the 27th or the 26th. I'm in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So, yeah, I'm excited.
You're everywhere. My goodness, this is a big travel time for you.
Yeah, my whole goal is to really do this, like, do it for real, like, full-time. This is how I pay my bills, get paid with my passion. And at the same time, hopefully inspire people to I tell people I sell a dope called hope, you know, it's my drug. I sell hope, you know, so, yeah, I want that to happen. So, those who are listening, book me.
Book him, he wants to
exactly.
do this full-time. Yeah,
exactly.
Indeed. Great to hear from you. I'm really glad that you were able to make the show and you're doing this from the McDonald's parking lot. That gives me a little something to giggle about inside. I like it.
And I can't stand McDonald's. But it's another story. That's a whole other story how they're poisoning us. But anyway, I'm in the parking lot. It's cool. It's part of the grind.
Well, can you share with us something that you've written to start things off?
Okay, I can share a poem. It's actually a poem that I have. It's one of my singles from my album. I have an album called Rebuilding Hope, and I intentionally made it to do just that. You know, it kind of starts off on some personal stuff and how we struggled, and you know, but I have a lot of elements of, hey, this is how we rise above it. Hey, this is the journey. We can create it ourselves, create our own happiness. But the lead single is called Priceless. I have a video. Those who are listening, go on YouTube, type in Moody Black plus Priceless. And it's a video to it, but this is a real life stuff I've been through. But just as poets, as all of us, you know, have something to write about and grow from that, you know, as elevate ourselves. But anyway, enough of that. This for all the poets that go place to place and not make a penny. But would somebody give one for their thoughts? Because thoughts are all that poets have to give. So you hope that somebody would at least give you something after the landlord hands you an eviction notice. So after stretching, you flip that piece of paper over, scribble some lines, and 9 times out of 10, you keep it because you got to deal with both sides of that paper. Now, on one side of that paper is the date where you got to have all that stuff out your house, but on the other side is a poem. And not just any poem, but a poem that becomes a soundtrack to your sanity. Instead of having a nervous breakdown, you broke down your struggles with the pen and sank your sadness and sorrows with a stanza or a sonnet in hopes to make tomorrow a better day. Some say you better pray because having the stress to pray on your soul, so price your soul to a soul that will listen. Going place to place, emptying out your soul, and sometimes leave with empty pockets. But you wouldn't trade in that therapy session that some people call reciting a poem for anything in that moment. It's priceless. This for all those that don't know that they are poets. And at some point in English class, you flip past the poetry section to section yourself away to say that poetry ain't for me or poetry's boring. Those never seen themselves soaring in the blue skies, resting on white clouds, wearing a white tee with all whites and a white fitted hat that reads free. Those never seen themselves wearing that same outfit on a stage or a platform, mic or no mic, only because you never seen yourself. But if you see yourself, you'll free yourself. Instead of ripping your hood, you put on a hoodie, write a poem, and make a movement. Because once you see somebody giving you their soul, souls are moving, and it don't cost that much to do it. Just go down to the dollar store, get a pack of pens and a composition notebook for $2 and some change for just to change somebody's life. In that moment, it's priceless. And finally, this is for me. Ever since I was a fetus in Pearl Reaver's womb, visualizing this day, hoping someone inspired me to write a poem to spark change in somebody's life, screaming for it to come out, because the only outlet is this poetry when you feel like a penguin without a heart song to your happy feet, moving to the beats and the rhymes of the hopes of having a better day, till you write a poem at every debt notification and every bill, till the world knows that you only owe them the sincerity of your words. In your earlier life, we all thought poetry was boring. But it takes you going to some things, putting it down on paper that you're going to some things to make it all worthwhile in your poets. Or we feel like our poems are worth millions. But until someone gives you the last $5 to purchase your CD because you inspired change in their life despite them being a paycheck away from being homeless, well, that moment is priceless.
I really admire that a great deal. And I like, do you often open your show with that piece?
Well, now I have another piece. It's actually called Rebuild, which is the lead song on the CD, or the lead track, rather. Then I go into that poem. Yeah.
It's wonderful. It kind of sets the tone for telling people about, well, it's not intrusive. You tell people about what's important to you, and so that they take that message in, and it's not bossy at all because of it. And I really like what you do there. So when you were talking about the introduction before this, you were talking about doing another piece before this on the album itself.
Yeah, it's called Rebuild. It's kind of on the same vein, but more or less what we're going through and the growth from that. Don't give up. You know, it's one of those kind of pieces that we all have to rebuild. So that's kind of what that is.
Nice. I like that. So you're traveling all over. Do you travel by car? Do you travel by plane?
Right now by car, either my own or a rental. If I'm going too far, like for Texas, I get a rental and leave a day early. So it's about a 13-hour drive from where I am. But I do have some shows lined up in the near future where I'm going to have to fly. Like I know I'm working on San Diego and some of the other places in Cali, but I got a show in New Mexico. I got a show in Seattle, Washington. No way in the world I'm going to drive there.
Yeah.
Not for South Carolina, you know. So, yeah, and I got a show. My first overseas show scheduled in September. I'm ironing out the details, but in Abu Dhabi, working out in September. So, yeah, so I'm going to be international poet, Moody Black.
Excellent. So I noticed in that piece that, you really have a distinctive delivery style. Did that just come naturally to you, or how did you develop your delivery style?
Well, just studying the game. I've been writing poetry since 11, but I got introduced to slam poetry in the late 90s, like 98, 99. And you start seeing a lot of people, perform. And I was a theater major. You know, I didn't finish college. I got like a year left. Me and my best friend, who's also a poet, Johnny C. Weaver, shout out to him. We've been involved in theater since middle school, junior high, to high school. Then we had a scholarship to attend a junior college to do theater. So when I start seeing slam, I'm like, wait a minute, that's just, to me, it's similar to performing a soliloquy, you know.
Oh, yes.
Just you, yeah. And I was like, okay, so I can take my words and perform them. So I just started watching other people, but I'm me, you know what I'm saying? So I don't try to sound
right.
like nobody, but I understand that the devices you have to use in constructing your poem to make it a performance poem, and also understand how to perform it, you know. And I had a great slam coach, shout out to Ken Sims Gibbs, who was very wonderful to show me the tricks of the trade. And just me being who I am and me being a Southern dude, it's just going to come out how it is, you know. And I don't want to change that. You know, I don't want to change that. I don't want to sound like everybody else. You know, the greatest compliment somebody ever gave me was force from a great person. Bruce George, who started the HBO Deaf Poetry, had an opportunity to talk. We never met him face to face, but we had an opportunity to talk several times on the phone. And that was always my goal. I always wanted to be on that show. I don't want to be on Deaf Poetry. Of course, we got canceled later on. But I had a great opportunity to talk to him. And I saw that video and heard me do another poem on the phone. And there's some of the things he was saying about that. He's seen or heard all types of poetry. But when he said, yo, you have something that's different from everybody else, that was a huge compliment, because I just want to be me. I don't want to. And because after a while, you hear so many people sound like everybody else, you know, okay, this is a cookie cutter poem, a poet. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be that poet, you know. So
how do you avoid falling into that trap? You learn from listening to other people, but at the same time, you want to be an individual. How does that happen?
Well, I'm being true to myself. I don't want to mimic anybody, because that's not fair to myself or fair to them. I don't want to, you know, be that person they call out, hey, man, you sound like me. I don't want to be that dude, you know. And just to anybody who loves poetry, I don't want them to say, oh, yeah, he cool, but he sound like such and such. He sound like such and such, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I just work hard to stay true to myself. And then it comes out how it comes out. I let the universe kind of work through me to get those thoughts and feelings out. And just how it's supposed to be, how it's supposed to sound, how I'm doing it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you learn how to play with words and, you know, stretch things and stuff like a lot of poets do. But, you know, I just sound funny with my Southern twang, I guess, doing it. Well, yeah, that's Mooney, a little country tale. That's him. You know. And it's
You've
cool,
been
though.
Writing
I,
since
I've grown.
You were 11.
Yeah. Oh, man,
yeah.
The greatest thing in the world, my mom, and I didn't find out till later on I got grown, but my mom, she had this book. One thing is a rite of passage in the house. You had to know about some poetry. Like my sister and I, we grew up reading Maya Angelou and Langston Hughes and all kind of great poets. But it was this one book my mom had, a 60s poet named Walter Rinder. He had this book called This Time Called Life. And I found it, and the images were so beautiful and so soft. The poetry was just speaking to young people. It was from that era, you know what I'm saying, that hippie era. And where I was in my life at 11, I'm like, wow, as a young boy, this spoke to me and it influenced me, you know. Not to say that Langston and Maya did, because I'm definitely a great fan of their work. But this book particularly spoke to me. And not, y'all listening, but I tell my mom I still got that book, so she don't know I got it, though. And then the cover's torn and stuff like that. But she asked me one day, she called me, Junior, you got my book? Like, oh, I know what you're talking about. But she told me the story. She said, my dad, now, and they've been divorced since I was like 6 or 7. My parents, my mom told me my dad got that for her for their first anniversary. He knew she liked that kind of stuff. You know, and my father, you know, he wasn't a well-educated man. He was a boxer, but he was a great dude. And a lot of mine just wanted to connect with people is from him because he loved people. But to find out that he got that book for my mom, I'm like, wow, that's nice. But I still didn't get a book up, though. Y'all better not tell. Tell my mom y'all lied on me. Mama, they lying. They lying on your only boy. They lying.
So just going from that, a little segue into, do you have chapbooks or anything that you've written in print form? Yes.
Yeah, I do, but I don't have any more, and I haven't. Had an opportunity, or I created an opportunity to reproduce those. I have two that was out, and I have one that I finished like last year, but I still, I'm going back, okay, I don't like this poem, and I just haven't released it, you know, and just being too hard on myself, and instead of just letting it go, let it be what it be, you know.
Yeah.
So hopefully before the summer, I'll have it done finally.
That'd be great. Or at least
yeah,
get
it's
some
called
of the former copies before you start traveling.
Yeah, I know, but that's the thing. I still have the second. No, I have the first one on the flash drive. I cannot find for the life of me any kind of. Yeah, no link to my second one. You know, I gotta find people who may have it. I've done shows and sold them, but yeah, I know.
Oh, that's too bad. You sold the last one.
Yeah. So
we're
on
at about
the new
halfway
call.
Through the show, and I was hoping that I could get you to read the second piece.
Okay, sure. Actually, since we were talking about Rebuild, I'll go ahead and do that poem. It's the very first single on the CD. Yeah, so we're all part of one big picture. A motion film filled with emotions that sometimes leaves us motionless. We are the less fortunate with fortunes waiting for our wisdom to awaken, but we're too busy waiting for a God response. But the whole while, whatever you believe God to be is waiting for you to respond. So we must go beyond the point of being broken, bent over on bended knee, bargaining for a better day, because clay takes the form of whatever you mold, and you're never too old to get it right. The second time, third time's the charm. We are the folk in the City Shack painting by Ernie Barnes with our arms stretched to that disco ball called the sun. Good times, just begun. Hard times go and come, but we must come to grips that we need a raincoat or an umbrella over our head, because life is one big metaphor that's right over our head. So we got to Vincent Van Gogh, paint a starry night, gaze at it, make a wish, and go out there, get that work. Write down all of your woe is me's against ripped from your stanzas. Set the standard of having faith that you're going to succeed, even when everyone else around you don't believe. Even when sometimes you don't even believe yourself. Even when you feel like a fern dangling from the stoop of Miss Betty's project building. And yeah, it may be a project building, but just know that you're something beautiful to somebody in that project that's building. You are a California redwood tree with roots sunk deep in earth's soil so you can yell to the rain that you ain't going nowhere. Even when the strong winds are weary and waver your will, you'll be soldier. Even when hard times bogart and bold your boldness, you'll be bolder. Be a bard that beats down their burdens with self-belief because self-doubt is a monster crawling its way trying to Jerry Sandusky your dreams. But you stand up and fight because we're warriors with weapons that bite, born in this Penn State. Born to be great, but we were failure like implants and perfectly covering up our imperfections. We are perfectly flawed. I mean, look at you. You're beautiful. Some of you got Muhammad's hair. Jesus' smile. Some of y'all even got Buddha's belly. Fucking around with God's complexion with a complex. But when everything around you starts to crumble and fall, do not give up. Do not quit. Just pick up the pieces and rebuild.
That's wonderful. And the whole concept behind this came from where?
Man, I've not only had a lot of things happen to me, I've created a lot of things. And people don't take ownership or be accountable to things happening in life. I created some bad circumstances for myself as well, you know. So, and one thing I always notice is the people, we quit the judge, we quit to shoot people down instead of encouraging them. And I've had a few friends, even a few homies that's locked up right now. And it's hard when you get out of jail to really live a normal, quote-unquote, normal function of life when people not giving you those chances. But you have to, at the same time, develop a certain strength within yourself. So you know what? I'm not going to worry about that. I'm going to take what I got and I'll build upon that. So I'm at a phase in my life now when I've created some circumstances for myself with when I'm, you know, been in the most uncomfortable positions and trying to get myself together. And I had to, you know what, I'm going to take this and it'll be a stepping stone. Like, I've done this or I've been in this situation. What I'm going to do now, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. A lot of my sets, I tell people, this is a true diagnosis. I tell people I have what's called post-traumatic growth. And I read that because it happened to Kanye when he had a car wreck. And he actually had that. So even though he may be an extreme right now, whatever he's going through. But when things happen, we have two choices. We can stay and soak in that. We can just drown in it. Or you going to grow from it. So I've learned to grow. Like, I've had these bad things. But you know what? I'm about to do this right here for my life. I'm going to jump on these dreams. You know what I'm saying? If you're on board, Hey, buckle your seatbelt, let's roll. If not, get out of the way.
Right.
And I want to get that message to everybody else, man. Don't let your hard times, your hardships dictate your future. You can create. We're beings have the ability to create whatever life you want. Yeah, there's gonna be obstacles. There wouldn't be life. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
If it was easy, everybody'd be doing it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you gotta go through it, but you fight through it and just know something. You gotta know something's better gonna be around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad from a dude from South Carolina, huh?
No, no, not at all. Not at all. You're making
me
think.
We get such a bad rap for South Carolinians. We get such a bad rap. Don't let the people involved in politics dictate who the people are here. There's a beautiful, intelligent people here in South Carolina. They just misrepresent us.
Yeah.
I just put my head down like, oh, Lord.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes it's hard to justify what people do at the voting booths, but we have to remember that they're also, you know, there's so much more going on than just at the surface. I can really appreciate that because I think right now I'm in kind of a purple state. It's not really red, not really blue anymore.
Yeah.
And so, like, we're somewhere in the purple, and I'm not, and it's not feeling very comfortable to me either. So you said that this is all part of an album that you have. If people want to get this from you, where could they get it?
Oh, that's easy. Go to www.moodyblack.bandcamp.com. And I have a few albums on there that people can purchase. So I do hip-hop as well. So I have my poetry album, and I have some hip-hop. And it's very affordable because I'm going to charge a little more if I see you on the streets. But you can download the whole album on moodyblack.bandcamp.com. And it was actually nominated Best Spoken Word Album by the National Poetry Awards. Didn't win, but, you know, the nomination is cool. You know,
yes.
It's got some cool treats on it. It's got some music, some beats behind it, some singing. But I'm not singing because I can't carry a tune in two buckets. But, But it's pretty. I enjoy doing it. I got a collab with a lot of upstate South Carolina artists. You know, it just made it happen. We try to create some good art, you know. And it's jamming.
Fantastic.
You know what I'm saying?
I had a guy
tell me he ride around to it, you know. Like, he ride around to my poetry CD, like, he listens to the hip-hop CD. So I like that, you know.
Yeah, definitely. So how'd you get involved in hip-hop?
Oh, man, right when I was writing poetry, you know, I'm about to tell my age, but just when hip-hop was starting to really get its popularity, it spoke to me, you know what I'm saying? And, of course, you know, being a South, you know, our only reference of hip-hop was, you know, from New York, you know.
Right.
And that influenced me a lot. And then me and my best friend, we started rapping. We loved Run DMC. You know, so we had the Derbies. We had the Black Derby Godfather hats. We had the No Strain dealers. Oh, man, you know, and we was chopping up like Run DMC was doing. You know what I'm saying? But, of course, you know, your own experiences dictate what you rap about. So, of course, our music started growing to our own. You know, from what we were seeing, what we was going through, then here I am now just really embracing my southernness in my music. So I got some new stuff. I'm working on my whole new hip-hop album. So I got like a little EP out now.
You do?
So,
and
yeah,
is that available at Bandcamp as well?
Yeah, it's on Bandcamp. It's three tracks. I'm about to put a fourth one on there pretty soon. But, yeah, it's on Bandcamp. I got three songs on right there, and I'm working on my full-length hip-hop album. I don't have a title for it yet, but I got those three songs out. The lead single is called Mason Jar, parentheses, Third Eye, and it's got a video on YouTube, so y'all check that out. So I got a hip-hop joint. I got a spoken word joint on YouTube I'm pushing. So, yeah, those listening, check it out, spread it, share it. You know what I'm saying? Y'all know about
absolutely.
Those numbers. But I'm saying something, you know what I'm saying? You got a dude from South Carolina, got a song that's jamming, but I'm saying something, you know?
So much of what's on the radio today as far as what hip-hop is calling itself is really, you know, continues with the whole idea of, I guess, misogyny and thuggery. And there are so many people who only see hip-hop as that kind of negative influence. How do you deal with that viewpoint and trying to create something that is positive in the same realm where it gets such a bad name by some?
And it's so funny. We just got to be talking about this. We had a roundtable discussion in Greensboro. Some wonderful people. And shout out to all Greensboro crew, man. It was a very beautiful situation. But to answer your question, it's kind of like we have a lot of conscious rapping. Now, I tell people now when I'm out here hustling my CDs, whatnot, I tell them I got some hip hop for you. You know, I'm saying something, but it's jamming. And that's the thing about it. You got a lot of conscious people say, "Man, I'm conscious. I got these real thought provoking songs." And it sounds like garbage. It sounds whack. You know,
mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. We don't have a balance. You know, we want to get these people to think and get beyond what we see hip-hop is. But as artists, you got to challenge yourself not only to find a way to break it down to get people to understand what you're saying, but have some good
mm-hmm.
music. I think sometimes we don't have good music to really sell that out there like that. So it gets shunned. If you call yourself a conscious rapper or come with some positivity, you get shunned because it's not sounding good sonically. It's not giving good vibrations with it. But that's what the thing these other artists realize. You know, I can sell the garbage on some good vibrations. I can sonically get you to listen. I'm gonna bring you in because the beat's going to be banging. It's going to be jamming. You know what I'm saying? But I can say the whole song. You're going to love it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're going to love because it's jamming.
Right.
So we got to be able to find that balance. But I also think that a lot of artists is out now, if you're going to do that, that's fine. But show some growth. Show some growth that you won't get your money. I'm not mad at anybody trying to get their money. But you got to do something with your money. If you're not helping the community, well, you're killing the community. You know what I'm saying? If you're not helping, you're killing it. If you're not going to take that money and grow from it and help invest and put something back and do something in your art other than talk about, like you say, thuggery or misogynistic stuff, you know, we don't need you. So you have to grow. So I like to challenge these guys. Okay, I hear you. You make some good dance music, whatever. Okay, what's next? You know what I'm saying? You know, we love to party.
Right.
I dance all day. Okay, well, I do dancing. What's next?
Right.
You know, so.
Right.
That's my take on it, man.
That's
we got to.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. You good. I was just saying they got to go to the next level.
That's the fault of, like, the record companies themselves? Or...
All day long. Yeah. All day long.
Yeah.
It is their fault.
Yeah.
Because, I'm a young dude, and I got kids. So if I'm a younger dude who don't really understand the game, and you tell me I can make several millions of dollars by talking about X, Y, and Z, yeah, I'm going to feed my family. You think about that, I can get myself out of my situation. So, yeah. Excuse me. And then the record label, they ain't stupid. They, if they know, if Lil Joe over here got a song talking about misogynistic stuff and is making that company millions of dollars, but we need somebody like that to get us millions too. Because it's all about building a profit. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, the record labels, they're like predators. They're like predators. They're looking for the next person who may. Because a lot of artists who may talk about negative stuff now, but I bet you before then, they really could rhyme. They really could have, you know, flex their skills. But labels saying, I need you to make this kind of record, and you want to feed your family, you know. But the thing is, that's what I'm saying, okay, now you got these millions, you got money to do something with now. All right, help the community, educate us, school us, make some music now to show your growth. Because you got fans now. You got fans. All right, guide your fans.
Right.
You know? So, yeah, absolutely, a record label is responsible wholeheartedly, but at some point, as the artist, you know, you gotta be accountable. You gotta make some choices. You know.
Yeah. We only have about a minute and a half, so I need you to do something really brief if we decided to go with reading one last thing, or we can just talk the show out. Again, we've got a minute and a half. Next week my guest is Mr. Mike Booker, Chicago's own. And this is Moody Black. Do you wanna do something or do you wanna just give us a shout-out to give us something to think about at the end of the show here?
Well, this is in a minute and a half. We can just talk it out, man. If y'all want to hear some of my stuff, I'm on YouTube. I got poems all over YouTube. Definitely download the music. Support the artist. Chicago. I want to get out there, Chicago. Get me out there. I love to come out there. I've been wanting to do that.
I'll spread
Please.
The word. I'm not too far away from there.
Yeah. I love to get out there. But, let's keep being positive. Let's keep pushing positivity, because there's so much negativity out there. We need some goodness, y'all. You know what I'm saying? So let's just keep helping each other, you know, help your fellow man, and let's grow. Let's grow.
Right.
You know? So.
Well, I want to thank you so
much
for being with me today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having
me.
I'm honored and humbled. Thank you. Thank you. It's so funny. I don't hear my own name no more. Like, Mr. Mullen sounds so funny to me now. Everybody call me Moody. You know, what's up, Moody? Moody Black,
That's
Mr. Black.
Awesome.
Yeah,
Mr.
so
Frost.
even Mr. Butler is like, wow, that
I
is my
love
name.
it. Well,
Robin is my name.
thank you, Mr. Black. It's been a complete pleasure. Again, my guest next week is Mike Booker from Chicago. And until next week, be kind to one another.
No, thank you.